Thank you. You know, it's not easy to have this responsibility, yet it's a great service and a great privilege, and there's a certain joy that I'm in this position. I was called in the ministry by my old brother Flint. He spoke in tongues, and I knew he called my name. And I felt that responsibility and have it with me yet. But I plead guilty as a person with that responsibility that slighted it many times. And I have asked for his forgiveness. And I believe that he has dealt with me kindly and gentle. For I'm yet alive. I love life. And I have this great privilege and this responsibility. In my age of 86, to stand and profess the gospel. And I have been blessed in my life all these years. Yet, like all of us, there's been a struggle. But here I am. And I feel His Spirit this morning, because that was where my prayer was and is at the moment. I have the Book of Mormon and I have the Bible in front of me. Many records of His influence upon man. And His influence rests upon us this moment in time. I've searched the Bible and I've searched the Book of Mormon about Easter. And I could only find it one place in the Bible, the word Easter. And I don't know how it came to be called Easter, because I find no writing that offers any answer. Yet, through the ages and the years, we have celebrated Easter. And we know what it means when Christ arose from the dead, made that infinite atonement, brought about the dispensation of grace, brought about the power of resurrection, and His gospel followed after He arose. And I'm going to read in Acts, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read the first four verses. And this is about Herod's thinking. It says, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands," Christ had already established his church, "to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." So he acknowledged that Christ was responsible for the church. And I guess he recognized that the word Easter gave the description and the truth of his coming forth to life. And that's all it says. And I'm going to turn back to way back in history, in prophecies. Back in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15. I will put my enemy between thee and thee, and thee, woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That has always been the opposition between good and evil. Man influenced by the devil. And it was fulfilled. Galatians 4 and 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, and made under the law. In Genesis 12 and 3, this is the prophecy. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's the seed of Abraham. Matthew 1 and 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then on the seed of Isaac, the prophecy. In Genesis 17, verse 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him, Isaac's seed. Fulfilled in Luke, third chapter, verse 34. Which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor. And now the seed of Jacob, Numbers, 24th chapter. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. The seed of Jacob fulfilled. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Luke. Which was the son of Amminadab, which was the son of Ram, which was the son of Harzon, which was the son of Pharez, and which was the son of Judah, the heir to the throne of David, in Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to whom shall be the gathering. Well, I've read that. I'm sorry. Here we go. Isaiah 9 and 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. He's born in Bethlehem. Here's a prophecy. In Micah. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings from forth have been from old, from everlasting. The fulfillment, it speaks this way in Luke. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And Daniel, a prophecy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And Luke, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Here's some prophetic scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself, this is in Isaiah, shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He was to be born a virgin. Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. This is the background of that great man who gave his life. And this is the prophecies that were written before his time. In Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, a lamentation, a bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. That was the slaughter of the innocents. Then Herod, I mentioned him long ago, Matthew, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, because he sent the wise men to do some research, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all of the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Herod had them killed. A prophecy in Hosea. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt in the flight to Egypt. Matthew, fulfillment of this. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And that was before the forerunner of John the Baptist. In Malachi, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. In Luke, fulfillment. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind, in the wind? This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. In Psalms, prophecy. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He was declared the Son of God. Matthew, fulfilled. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Isaiah, Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the seas beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. And that's his mission when he made his ministry, when he became mature in Matthew. And here he is in his ministry, a fulfillment. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. The people begin to recognize and follow him. And here's one in the prophecy in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And he was called and recognized as a prophet in Acts. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, he shall ye bear in all things, hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. In his ministry, this is taking place. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance our God, to comfort all that mourn. And he healed the brokenhearted. He did do that. Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's after he became an apostle. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And we know that was the condition prior to his crucifixion. And that was prophesied, and that would take place. And he was rejected by his own people, the Jews. And in John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And in Luke, and they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release us in Barnabas. That was before he was standing before Pilate, and they was judging him. And in Psalm, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Christ was the high priest. It was a high priest. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And remember, he was the king of Salem. In Hebrews, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And we know how great the man was, and how his father was glorified by what he was doing. And then in Zechariah, they were eulogizing the promise. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He's just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. His triumphal entry, that was before he was going to be judged and crucified. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. This is in Mark. This is the fulfillment. And he sat upon him, and they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And his followers were rejoicing, and they were following, and they were greatly rejoicing because he was in their presence. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And here's another prophecy. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which deed of my bread hath lifted up his heel against me. That was and Judas. And he was betrayed by his friend. This is Mark. Well, I just read the fulfillment there a minute ago. And here's another prophecy. He said, in mine own familiar friend in whom I have trusted, he hath eat my bread and lifted up his heel against me. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? That was the fulfillment. In Zechariah, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And Matthew, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. That took place. False witness did rise up. Lay laid on my charge things that I knew not. He's accused by false witnesses. And there rose certain a bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. And we know the spiritual temple that lives with us. But his power was he could restore that temporal temple. A prophetic scripture here. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was silent on the accusations that they brought against him. And in Mark, it was fulfilled. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing. So that Pilate marveled. All these things have been recorded. They're all true. They're in the scriptures. And they've been itemized before me. And I thought it'd be good to know exactly the background of Christ, his record of life, and how all the prophecies that spoke of him, and what the things would be transpired against him, and what would take place, and how all these prophecies were fulfilled. We are here today to celebrate him taking his life up again, giving us the dispensation of grace, where we can ask for forgiveness, and in his tender mercies, if we repent, that means that we stop. And if we stop and we ask for forgiveness, we're given that blessing of forgiveness, and how great he is. Isaiah 50, I gave back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's when they had him carrying the cross. The multitude of people were spitting on him. They, and in Matthew, they did. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. And in Psalms, prophecy, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. He was hated without any justified and anything. There was no truth in their accusations. And the fulfillment of John, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, the law of Moses, they hated me without a cause. And the prophecy in Isaiah, again, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that was that sacrifice that he made. Romans, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is Paul, I believe it's Paul that's in his writing, but it's in Romans. And another prophecy says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. He was crucified with those two thieves. And then Mark, this fulfillment there. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And Zechariah, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and it shall be in the bitterness of for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And he pierced him, he drove nails through his hands and feet. And this is in John, a fulfillment. Then said he to Thomas, this is the doubting Thomas after he was resurrected. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. In Psalms there's the prophecy that followed. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. He was mocked. They didn't give him any way of any love or compassion. And in Luke, and the people stood beholding, and this is when it was fulfilled. And the rulers also, when they derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. So he, our Savior, suffered so much. And you know, if you were in his place, could you be as quiet and humble and take all that scourging and scorn and mockery without retaliating? But he is God's only Son, and have that great love and that power, and he did endure. the prophecy, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And that's what they did. Fulfilled them. They gave him vinegar, that's what it says in Mark, Matthew, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And Psalm says, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And he prays for his enemies. Did we do that? Luke, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And we know that's right. And here's some more scripture that follows his path. In Psalms, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. And that's what happened when they had disrobed him and put him on the cross. The soldiers gambled over his clothes. In Matthew, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they looked up and watched him. In Psalms, it's also said, he keepeth all his bones, none of them is broken. And why? No bones broken. In John, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. In Isaiah, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. He was a humble, righteous, obedient to God the Father, to make an example, as we read these things, how ourselves should react to the rigors of life and the disappointments and the injustice. In Zechariah, I will pour upon the house of David and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in the bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. And it's, this right here fulfills, says, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. You know, you can see, and we've seen a lot of videos of riots and a policeman coming to take order, place order in the situation that's taking place in public. And there's people, when they see a man down, they're going to kick him again. And this is what this soldier did. I'll get him. He stuck him again. When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. In Psalms, this is when he was to be resurrected. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. That's after he was resurrected and he met his people. Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And you, can you imagine all the people that had faith rejoiced because they believed what he said, but the people that didn't, they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. You know, he's going to come again. He's going to come to a generation, maybe not us. Every generation lives its own time. And all the instructions and admonitions that we find in the Scripture applies to everybody that draws breath through his dispensation of existence in his generation. But we know he's going to come. He's going to redeem Israel, and his sheep will know that. Thou hast, and here he's ascension. Here was a prophecy in Psalms. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, his 12, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And that right there is a big record. And it describes all the prophecies before Christ came into our lives and established himself and gave all the promises to us. I'm going to close with the third chapter of James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great is the matter, a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And we know that we stand here today because of God's mercy, His grace, and we are well acquainted with all the admonitions and the things as to how we should treat ourselves in labor. Charity is the greatest of all, the love of all men. And how great was God's love when He sacrificed His life that all men might have eternal life. Thank you.
Dear God, our kind and heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this service and Thy honor this day, we pray, O Lord, that we might all be found waiting and watching, especially at that last day of our lives when we come to leave this realm of presence as we know it and to come into the realm of our Heavenly Father above. Help us, Lord, to be looking forward to that time, not with anguish or regret, not with fear or trepidation, but rather, Lord, help us to come before Thee with joyful, happy gladness of heart to come home to that God who gave us life. We would ask now that Thy Spirit be with us, each and every one, throughout the remainder of this day. We would ask Thy blessing upon all those who are upon the highways, and pray that Thy Spirit would be with us, each and every one, as we go our several separate ways. Keep us from harm and danger until we meet again, and we ask it in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.